Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Holidays, so just wanted to shoot that out. Anybody got anything, the good news they want to share from the week? Any testimonies, any blessings, any attacks that you was covered from, anything? I know somebody got something.
Amen.
Nobody got nothing.
This is a sad but a rejoicing and blessed occasion. My aunt passed early Saturday morning at 8:36 in the morning. She had been battling with dialysis. She was on dialysis, diabetes, and she had to get her leg amputated above the knee. She went on to be with the Lord, but it was a rejoicing time. It was sad, but it was a rejoicing time for me because she knew the Lord. And, you know, we talk about that all the time and our men's discussions and everything. But, man, I'm going to tell you something. This woman was a powerful woman of God. So just pray for the Jones family, Matthews family, Willoughby family. Just lift them up in prayer. But when I'm supposed to go home. And so, you know, with everything. Now I go see the family, but just lift them up. But man, I tell you what, man, when you know the Lord, when you know that you know that you know, what a blessing and rejoicing in that. Amen. That's all I had, brothers. Thank you.
Definitely, man. Anybody else going once, going twice, going three times, a lady? With that being said, man, I know everybody just as excited as I am, man. Without further ado, Brother Glenn, take us on this journey.
Amen, gentlemen. Good to be with y'all again tonight, brothers. Love y'all.
God bless you, brother.
God laid some on my heart last week when the lesson was going forth, and Brother Josh was bringing a lesson and talking about, you know, how God was, you know, about how, you know, that God, you know, was laying on his heart about the things that he was teaching last week about scripture and about getting spiritually strong and growing in our Lord. And as he was speaking, I was hearing, you know, about people dealing with so much pain and trying to figure out why the pain they were dealing with in their lives, why they were dealing with the trouble, what this was about, what was God trying to prove, what was the purpose of it, you know. And so God started to speak to me about the purpose of the pain and the power of the bloodshed. And so I wanted to share with what he was talking about. When we talk about healing in the scripture, we always refer back, or a lot of times we refer back to Isaiah 53rd chapter. And I'm going to read it in its entirety, then I'm going to go into what God has told us. In Isaiah 53, it says, "Who believe our report, and whom has the arm of the Lord has been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and the root out of the dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid it as if our faces were from him. He was despised and he died. We did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him. We esteem him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And like a sheep, we have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened his mouth not a mouth. He was led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearer to a silent, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who will declare his generation? But he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken, and it made him grave and wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put forth to grief, and when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall be prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. But by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, but he shall bear them in their iniquity. I'm going to stop right there. Well, what's been going on is like we've been trying to figure out why we suffer so many persecutions in this life on this side as Christians, that we seem to find ourselves in more trouble than we were when we were in the world. I've said it myself that I wasn't saved. I just seemed like I didn't get as much trouble. I always had money. I did what I wanted to do. There was no consequences for my action. Nobody judged me. And when I looked around, there were more people doing what I was doing that was not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I felt right at home doing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But then after I got saved, it seemed like all hell broke loose. You know, it seemed like every time I turned around, something was coming from somewhere. I could not find peace in my own self. Mm-hmm. And it began to disturb me. And so God taught me a lesson about why it's important to understand pain in the body and the power of the bloodshed. What he told me was the body is afflicted. The only way it knows it's been afflicted is by the pain. And when pain comes in, the body knows something has happened to it that has changed what is normally going on. It's out of the ordinary. So what pain does, it indicates to the body that something has afflicted it. So it's just like in our normal body, when we put our hands to a hot stove, we draw back because of the pain causes a reaction that lets us know that it's something that we need to withdraw from. It's the same thing in our lives. When we're going through something and we get into a painful place, we want to withdraw from it so that we can minimize our exposure to the pain. And then we start examining ourselves in the area where the pain was. So if I pierce myself with a pin on my arm, the first thing I'm going to do is the pain from that pain is to go see how bad the wound was that was afflicted. And it's the same thing in our lives. Whenever something happens, we withdraw and we start to take self-inventory of the situation that we find ourselves in. And we either withdraw so that we can develop a plan of action, or we withdraw in ourselves so we can plan a defense. That's what the reason for pain is in our lives. When God uses situation and circumstances to cause us to stand still, not because he's trying to punish us, he's trying to use that situation or circumstance to get our attention in such a manner that it causes us to react. And how you react is based on what you believe God for. Does it say that because you might withdraw to yourself that you don't have faith? No. It says that, does it say that if you draw or you lash out, you're not saved? No. Everybody reacts to pain and stimuli in different ways. So it's not according to what you have in God is how you react. It's according to what you're examining inside of yourself is how you react. And then, you know, as we go on in life, you know, Jesus says it plainly in the Bible, says in this life, you will have trouble. He lets us know that you're going to go through some things. You know, we talked about Brother Paul often talked about Paul, you know, seeking the Lord for the thorn that was in his flesh. And even he said that that thorn was a messenger of Satan. But the messenger of Satan was sent there to buffet him, that he might not be exalted above measure. That pain or that situation caused by the thorn was enough to cause him to evaluate it in such a way that he reached out to God for an answer. That's a lot of things that we're doing right now, that when we're going through stuff that we'll stop in the midst of the pain and say, okay, God, this, you got to explain why I'm here. Why do I keep finding myself in this place doing the same thing that I did before? and because of this pain. And what he's saying is this pain is an indicator to let you know that there's something that you need to examine. It's something you got to work out. You're stuck in the same place, or you're coming back to the same reality because you're still trying to endure the pain with the same faith that you had when you experienced it the first time. And so he's trying to allow this pain in our lives so that we see that it's necessary for us to grow beyond what we will normally be used to. So pain is an indicator that something needs to change, rather it's drastically or tenderly, however it be, but that's what it's for. It's the indication to the body that something needs to happen. Now you look at it from a spiritual matter, it's the same thing. Spiritually, when God allows something to happen in the spirit, he's showing you that something is out of order, that it needs to be addressed, that it has to be touched on. And then you touch on it, then we seek him to try to get the grace and mercy we need to get through it. Now, another thing that we understand is if you afflict the body bad enough, it will cause a wound. And what that will do, it will bleed. Now, I love what he told me about blood. The blood just, it blesses me because, you know, it shows me how much he really loves me. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And the blood, when it's shed, it washes the sacrifice so that it's acceptable to God. Mm-hmm. So when we see a wound open and blood begins to flow, there's a purpose for blood flowing out. Because as long as the blood is flowing out, that means no contaminants can flow in. So it's a one-way path when the blood is flowing. So nothing can flow in into an open wound as long as that blood is flowing. So what it does is when it's flowing and the blood is covering you, it's keeping the enemy from coming to contaminate you with anything else. That's why when the Bible says that when Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father as the advocate for us, when God speaks, all he says is, see my blood. Mm-hmm. My blood was shed for him. My blood covered that sin. My blood erased that. It was shed because I needed them to see that they can be healed from this situation. I needed them to understand that this chastisement, I've already bore the affliction for them. All they have to do is go through. So when the blood is flowing out, he's keeping the enemy from further contaminating us because he's covering us with our blood. Now, if the blood flows long enough, it begins to coagulate. And when it begins to coagulate, it forms a scab over the wound. Now, what that does is that blood covers the wound while the wound begins to heal from the inside out. That's the purpose of prayer, of supplication with thanksgiving. That's the purpose of going through and praying and set aside for God. That scab is represented by the prayers that you sent up, by the supplication, by the sacrifices that we made, by the fasting that we go through, by the fellowship of brothers, by the reading of the word. So it gives you something to protect the wound while it's healing. Now, we often know that if you go back and you pick at that wound, you can scratch the scab off. And it's just, and you scratch the scab off, you have now made that wound vulnerable for infestation, infection, or further damage because you stopped praying. You stopped reading the word. You gave up on God. You trust the word of your brothers and sisters more than the word of God concerning your situation. You seek them. You didn't seek him. And so when you pull the scab off and you start allowing other people into your situation, they come with their thoughts. They come with their understanding. They come with their way of looking at a situation. And you ever notice a lot of times when you let certain friends in your situation get worse?
Oh, yeah. Right, right. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. You have an argument with your spouse, and the next thing your unmarried friends are trying to give you advice on how to handle your wife or your husband. And you look at them like, why are you giving me kind of advice? And then, and their main ones will say, well, I never would have took that. Yes, they would, and they want what you got.
Amen.
They want to be where you are. And so when you look at it, when you start letting people in, they start to contaminate your situation. But then you got to allow that blood to flow again to wash that wound out. Go in it and put some kind of antiseptic on it to clean it. So you got to go and fast more and pray more. Get anointed and ask God for forgiveness and repent so that scab can form again and begin to protect that wound. And if it heals long enough, the wound falls off and you see the result of what God has done in your life by the healing of your body. We often and all go through different things, and we're often caught up with what we're going through, and we get worried. I mean, everybody say, well, you shouldn't worry. Everybody worries. We all go through certain things that will cause us to look at our situation different. But we cannot stay stagnant in these things. We have to go forward and allow that thing to wash out the wound so that it can be purified and it can begin its healing process. Any questions so far?
Good word.
I want to jump in there when you was talking about the friends. When we take our, when we stop praying, and then we turn to friends, 9 times out of 10, even though we know who's following Christ and where we should go, it almost instinctively we go to the ones we've known the longest, or the ones that we grew up with. Versus, hey, if I'm gonna stop praying because I'm getting frustrated, I should go to this guy. I should go to Glenn. I should go to Jerome. I should go to Charles. I should go to Rick. Guys, I'm gonna end up going back to what's comfortable, and that makes the wound even bigger because we take it
right,
and it's getting infiltrated with even more of the negative things that we're trying to keep out.
You're right. I mean, a lot of times we're gonna revert back to what's comfortable for us. Mm-hmm. If the situation is so that it causes us to examine ourselves, we don't want to be uncomfortable. We want to revert back to what's comfortable. Remember when Jesus had already gone through the cross and he had been crucified, Peter looked at the other disciples and said, I go fishing. I'm going back to what I know I can do, what I'm comfortable in. And then the other disciples said, well, we going with you, because they knew he was an expert in that he was comfortable in. So a lot of times we seek the direction to go with people in a manner that's comfortable. Does it mean that we're going the right way? Jesus, while they were out fishing, came and called to the boat and said, hey, have you caught anything? And they answered, no, we ain't caught nothing. But he said, but let your net down on the right side of the boat.
You're right, there you go.
You know, you back, even though you might go with your friends, after a while, you got to revert back to the word, to Jesus, because it's his instructions that's going to give you the answer. Yeah. Your instructions are always going to take you a place outside of what God's will for you, no matter how righteous your intention may be, cause further division. But if you revert back to what God has planned, it orders your steps. It sets you on the right path. And you got to endure this thing to the end. You know, even in the scripture, it says that he was despised and rejected by men. Man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and was hid as were our faces from him. When we go through something, we want to hide our face from Christ when he's going through it for us, has gone through it for us.
Right.
You know, remember when he came in into Jerusalem right before he was crucified and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Hosanna, right.
He didn't join in and say, Hosanna, Hosanna. He began to weep.
Mm-hmm.
He began to weep because he understood what was getting ready to happen. And he weeped for Jerusalem. And he prayed to God on their behalf, not on his, because he knew what he was gonna suffer for them.
Right.
And then he went and he suffered the chastisement, he suffered the beating, he suffered being slapped, his beard pulled, spit on, and then having been beaten all night long, having to carry his own cross to a hill that looked like death to be sat upon so that he could bring everlasting life.
Right.
And so when you see these things happening, we in our flesh want to revert back to what's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to suffer anything. Mm-hmm. But then that's one of the fruits of the spirit. Long suffering.
Right.
You know, and so when we begin to suffer, we understand that he even says it, to reign with me, you must suffer with me. Because you're going to go through some stuff. But we got to be vigilant about what it is that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Else? Right.
But you know, Glenn, whenever we, like you were talking about, the disciples, they went back and followed Peter. They went what was comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
When we revert back to what's comfortable, we don't get the results.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to produce any results is the truth. When the disciples were fishing and Jesus asked them, had they caught anything? And they said, no. But when Jesus told them the truth to throw their nets on the other side, then they got some result.
Yes.
So with that being said, whenever we're going through our issues and our hurts and our pains, there's nothing wrong with getting some counseling and some information from some brothers or some sisters, but yet does that information have truth in it? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that's going to bring about a change.
Right. Amen.
Right. Go ahead, Rick. Sometimes when you go back to what was comfortable, what you know, it also can serve as a reminder of where you need to be, mm-hmm. where you don't want to go back to.
Yeah.
Right.
Because often you say, for example, you got a good friend, you go to him, you just going there to be around him because you know that's not you. But it keeps you grounded enough to know this is where I was. I'm no mm-hmm. longer there no more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I like that. Because you know, when we go back to what's comfortable, like Rick mm-hmm. saying, I know that. Mm-hmm. In my time, when I was going through some things, man, and I was like, man, I'd rather be back doing what I was doing
yeah.
over here,
yeah.
catching all this
right,
hair.
Right, right,
man, I tried to go back, but then mm-hmm. I didn't fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fit. You know, yeah. I looked out of place. I felt out of place. Everything was out of place. I'm sitting there in a club listening to music, and I can't understand nothing that's going on. I'm like, this just ain't me. And it wasn't mm-hmm. right. Get out of here. And I left, and then peace came back over.
Right, like correct.
I did not fit in that place. It was not a place mm-hmm. I needed to be. And I guess right. God allowed it to show me, well, you say you want to go back. Well, go mm-hmm. back. Let's see how this works. Mm-hmm. Then you go back, you're like, no, nah, this ain't me. I can't.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly. I'm like Jerome. I'm going to speak for myself. I got a good friend of mine. He's a DJ, and he asked me to come sit with him. At a sports bar, he was DJing, playing good music. But 2 minutes into me sitting in there with him, I didn't belong. I knew it. And so I said, hey, man, I got to get ready to go. I got stuff to do in the morning. And I left. And once I left, it's like something came on me like, now I'm at peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I
can share a testimony, the story about going fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Right after I got baptized, I got saved. My friends and stuff that I used to hang out with, drinking or whatever, I didn't go. So the next morning, and tell my let's go fishing. So the way to get me to go with them, they said we going fishing. I'm going with them, but on the way to fishing, they stopped by the store. Now they buying all this beer. And so me, I'm saying, you know what? I'm buy my sodas and I'm just going out there and do what I do and drink my sodas and fish. We long story, we get there to a pond down in the woods. When I say down in the woods, Lord Prosperity down by Mount Moriah Church, all the way back in the woods. That's where we were. Yes, we way down there.
Yeah.
They take the cooler and put the cooler in the boat and go in the middle of the pond. I tell them to bring me a soda over. They say, you done drunk them all, and hand me a beer.
Oh,
I take the top off the beer. I sip the beer. Y'all, I swear, I sat that beer on the flattest ground that you couldn't. I went back to fish. A little light breeze came through. It's that beer good. Fell over. I look back at it. And I was like, that wasn't meant for me.
Right.
A few minutes later, I was walking the edge of the bank. Mine is cold. The two guys that was in the boat done flipped the boat over in the middle of the pond.
Wow.
Ooh.
It's two out there in the middle of the pond. It's three of us on the bank. The other two on the bank with me can't swim. Mm. The two out there, one is struggling to get in. We done lost sight of the other one.
Ooh.
I had to go out to the middle of the pond to try and find him. I couldn't see him. I'm asking them where he at. all of a sudden something hit me on the bottom of my foot. It was him rolling over with his hand. And when he hit me on the bottom of my foot, I reached down and grabbed him. Ooh. I couldn't pick him up. I had to literally, my feet weren't touching the bottom. I had to swim and drag him on the bottom. The other guy got pulled in by a branch. The other two would not get in the water to save their life. I got a man in a jumpsuit with steel-toe boots on that's been under the water at least 3 to 4 minutes. And I got to get him up over a cliff in the middle of that pond. And I had to go down and get him. When I got him up and got him in close enough, because they would not come, they would not come out there off the bank. They end up sticking a branch out there in order for me to pull him in and get him to the bank. And once I got him to the bank, he was out. He was gone. His belly looked like it was, he was pregnant because he had so much pond water in it.
Jesus.
I'm trying to get myself in. After they got him in, I'm trying to get to the bank because I'm totally exhausted now. I'm telling them what to do. They panic. And when they shit him, he spit the pond water up.
Amen.
By the end of the day, we end up saving his life. But we had to drive from down there all the way to Newberry Hospital. Do you know I had to drive?
Oh, God.
I end up having to drive the car, too. Wow.
Jesus.
So I'm running 70 and 80 miles an hour from Prospect to Newberry and then get stopped by NAM police. Like, really. But by the time we got him to the hospital, he was conscious, but he had a collapsed lung. I forget what all he had. But just in that moment, when I started to go back, you see, that little breeze, that little whisper, you don't need that. You don't need that.
That's good.
But that's how he does. You know, it doesn't take God a lot to get our attention. Like I said, the wound doesn't have to be that great. It could be something as small as a pin, but it lets you know something is out of the ordinary. How fast do you get stung by a bee that you look down trying to get that thing off you?
Yeah.
And so it doesn't take much for him to get your attention to let you know that you don't need to be in that place. And that's what a lot of tribulations and stuff we go through is because God's trying to tell us that where you are right now, God, I don't want you getting comfortable, so I'm going to make it uncomfortable for you to stay there. I'm going to turn up some heat. I'm going to allow some things to happen so you understand that you can't just stay there haphazardly and think that this is comfortable and this is where you belong. I want enough to turn up in your life to where you have to get out and look past what the current situation you're in. That's what a lot of these afflictions for. Remember Brother Job. Job's whole situation was because God and Satan had a competition.
Yeah.
It wasn't even about Job. The whole thing was about Satan telling God, I've tried it. Because God said, have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, does Job fear you for not? You have a hedge of protection around him. That indicates, he tried him, but he couldn't get past the blood.
Mm-hmm. Right, correct.
He couldn't get beyond what God had put in protection over Job, around Job, and in Job's family because of the righteousness that Job showed.
Right, correct.
But what happened, what the devil did was he made Job's situation uncomfortable. That's what he tried to afflict him with, making his situation uncomfortable. Job's situation was so uncomfortable, he cursed the day he was born. He'd rather die. So we know that that's what this pain is for, is to not allow us to be comfortable in our current situation and circumstance. Because if we get comfortable, we'll miss the mark.
Right.
That's what God does not want us to do. He wants us to go from glory to glory.
Right.
And if we can go from glory to glory, we will overcome whatever situation we are in and go to the next level. When we try to go back, he is going to make sure that it's something so severe back then that it forces us to turn and look forward.
Right. Amen? Right. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Now, the blood is important. because we see that, as it was stated, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And, you know, and then we see that Jesus' blood was spilled out on the cross. And Isaiah, when he prophesied about the chastisement of Christ, it's, you know, it tells about the blood. He says what it is. By your stripes, we are healed. You know, because his blood was shed and his wounds were opened, that allowed him to be the perfect sacrifice. Whenever they put a sacrifice on the altar, they had to shed his blood so they would run down on the altar and be accepted by God. And so when we have the perfect sacrifice in Christ, whose blood has been shed, whenever we see situations and circumstances we got to put the blood on. That's why you hear the old time saying, so you got to plead the blood.
Plead the blood of Jesus.
You got to put the blood to work.
That's correct.
The power is power. The power is in the blood. And blood represents life. That's what it is about. It is life's blood. It is life flowing through your body. It is what keeps you animated. It is what keeps the heart functioning. When the heart is getting good blood flow, it flows better. It's strong. And as long as your blood flows through your body without any kind of inhibitions, the healthier you are. And so that's why you see that it tells you to get good aerobics. So it increases your blood flow through your body. So your arteries and your organs can be cleansed out. And, you know, when we have good blood pressure, then everything seems to regulate. And so when we look at the blood and the spirit, it's the same thing. As long as the blood is flowing and flowing properly without any inhibitions, we have access to so many things, not only in our lives for healing, but for success. Because when we put the blood on the situation we're in, we're covering it with prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving unto God, that it is being manifested in the spirit, because we have now put a sacrifice pleasing to God, that he can look down, see the blood, and receive the sacrifice unto himself and begin to work the situation out in your life. Because you said, God, I surrender. I put my hands up. Your blood covers it. So now, God, let the blood do the work. And so we look at it. That's what he was trying to get us to understand. That none of the stuff that we go through is coincidental. It was planned from the beginning before we got here. He told Jeremiah, I formed you in the belly. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you.
Knew you.
And that's powerful. He's saying, before I formed you in the belly, I had a relationship with you.
Yeah.
There was an understanding between me and you before you were even a twinkle in your daddy's eye.
Right.
And now I want you to understand that what I put in you is greater than anything you'll go through.
Right.
What we're facing now is only a stop in this journey. But it's not to stop us. It's just a place that we have to visit on this journey. So that when we get to the end, God can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Yes.
You know, so we can't get so caught up in things that are going on in our life and the problems that we deal with or the things that we go through, because if we get so fixated on those things will cause us to put God aside and stay there in them, and we'll end up finding ourselves going back into a place we ain't got no business being, just like Rick just said.
Right.
You know, we all, I mean, if we look at it and take self-inventory, ain't none of us perfect. And all of us have had the moments of saying, I wish I would have done something different.
Right.
You know, preaching. I promise you, I heard it a million times. You call to preach. Man, preach what? I'm not preaching.
Right.
That ain't the wrong person. You can try somebody else. One preacher told me, man, you're going to preach, prophesy, bring people to the Lord. I said, man, you a so-and-so lot in church.
Yeah.
I had no look. I told him, look, God don't love me. God hate me, and I hate him right back. That used to be my testimony. I had nothing. I didn't want nothing to do with nobody called God or Jesus. I tried Jesus, man. Try that Budweiser over there. I'll holler at y'all later. Peace.
Yeah.
That was real. I didn't want nothing to do with it. But then when life got you into a place, and you look up and realize that the whole time he was trying to get your attention.
Right.
And then we let him in, and he begins to pour in you. And you realize it's not anything that you've done different. That now situations are coming at you in such a manner that you realize it ain't in your power no more.
Right, correct.
You have to try something different. And then by chance, in a way that you can't not even explain. a word comes in a way that you can't explain. I remember right. when I realized God loved me, I was watching Tyler Perry play Nabil Goes to Jail. And it was the part in there where the brother had just found out his wife was cheating on him with his brother. And he was sitting there and he was crying and talking about love. And I said, don't nobody love me. And I heard God's voice just as warm and sweet said, I love you. I couldn't stop weeping. I mean, just as plain as day, I love you. I couldn't stop weeping. And that from that day forward, you couldn't stop me from seeking him.
That's good.
I know life happens. How they say it in Forrest Gump, it happens.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Life is going to happen. Life is right. real out here. This is not play. You're going to go through some stuff, bro. They're going to make you sit back and go, really? Now? Why now? And then look at this whole year.
Yes.
This whole year, everybody says a watch. It hasn't been for me because I've learned that in the midst of this, I haven't missed a beat. God has helped me along this way. And when I've gotten tired, he's given me rejuvenated strength. When I wanted to give up, he gave me a purpose of going on.
Right.
Every time that I sit there and had a bad day, I can't wait to get to Tuesday because I got to get to my brother so we can break bread and I can hear what God is doing in their life. He has shown me that the world may stop, but I don't stop. That the Bible says that he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. He that keepeth them neither sleeps nor slumber. I mean, God is always on his job, doing what he said he was going to do, making a river in the desert, crooked places straight. He is cleaning out the obstacles in my life, opening doors no man can shut, shutting doors no man can open. Because God, I say, at this time, God, I got to trust you. I got to trust you like never before. And when you finish with me, then I can hear what thus saith the Lord. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. We all going through some stuff right now. I feel it in my spirit. Some of us have chosen to talk about it, and some of us have told you to sit back and just listen. But when the time comes and you need to talk about it, first you go on your knees and you tell the Lord about it, and then let him guide you to the person that he wants you to get with and talk. Because he will show you. He said, confess your sins one to another. It's so cool about God is he'll put the person in your path he wants you to confess to.
Yep.
Allow you to open up, and then they will give you a word that comes directly from him that you can't deny that it was him. And that thing sets you at peace. When we start, Paul said, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, just, and of a report, think on these things. Your peace that passes all understanding.
Right. Yep.
Anything you're going through these trials and tribulations, that is going to happen because God is your daddy. And he says, I'm attentive unto your word. So whenever we get wounded, he starts the blood flow by the spirit to cut you so that the enemy can't contaminate you.
You're right. Correct.
We are getting so much from coming together and breaking bread. And I think God just wants us to understand that it's not in our power to give up. We just got to keep going forward.
Right.
Is the enemy going to throw curveballs and everything? Absolutely. Every time you testify of something that you believe God for, Satan is going to try it. It is his legal
right
from heaven. The Bible says he is the prince of the power of the air. So whatever you speak in the atmosphere, he has a legal right to terrorize. And trust me, dude is on his job. One person you can say that shows up for work every day, is never late, and don't leave early is the devil.
That dude That's right.
Amen.
24/7, 365, yes, cat is on his job. He is a faithful participant. Deviate from what his assignment is.
Amen.
He ain't deviating.
Amen.
I got one thing to do, and that's to lay it at the Lord's feet, pray on it, and trust God that the outcome is going to be what he designed it to be. And as long as I can keep that and stay in his word, that the battle is between him and
Satan.
It ain't even between me and him.
Right.
Because what does he tell us? When you find yourself in distress and trouble, put on the whole armor of God.
Correct.
To be able to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy and having to do all stand and stand therefore. So it ain't even my fight.
Right.
I just got to dress for the battle, trust God's word, put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of truth, and go forward that God is going to do exactly what he said, make a way out of no way, continue to bless, and do what he said he would do. That's the only thing I'm holding to is his promise.
Right.
That's good.
I had a guy at work today. Was it today? Yesterday. And he was, he almost like a 2020 mascot, right? Everything is 2020. He want to just share how bad 2020 been. So he I don't talk to him much. I'm not sure why, but anyway, he was like, man, you just can't wait to get 21 like the rest of us, right? I said, hey, man, I'm just thinking about tomorrow, man. If I'm in the numbers tomorrow, you know, I'm blessed. So he kept on going, and he asked me, he said, I know I see you reading, doing your devotions every morning. And I said, yeah, man. He said, let me ask you something. He said, if you don't mind, I said, of course. He said, have God covered you more in 2020? Do you feel like he's covered you more? I said, no, nah, he's never stopped covering me. Now, I don't know if that was the best answer, but that's what was in my heart. I said, I don't feel like he covered me more because 2020 has been such a mess. I don't think he's ever
never stopped covering
off of me. So, right. So that was my answer. And he kind of walked away. I'm not sure what he was looking for, but I just don't get caught up in that. So many people seem like they want you to jump on this bandwagon and just, I don't know, I'm going to make it no more and all that. Right. And man, 20, if I don't want this to sound like I'm boasting, but 2020 has been a great year for me. For me, it's been a great year. So it's 10 more dudes over there that you can jump on and y'all can drag each other down to the depths. That's fine. I'm not coming with you. So if you need some help, I might throw you a lifeline when you holler. But right now, 2020, it's been great. The Lord has been great to me. And I think as believers, for me, that's the mindset that I take on. I try to shy away from people who wanna put on that head and just 2020 been this. No, God been good to me in 2020. And I'm looking forward to 21, if so be it.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Todd, you ever thought about asking him? Has he ever thought about 2020 was a reason for 2020? God chose to slow things down?
I did. I don't think everybody, when you see it, some people embrace that negativity about 2020.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Correct. I get
he's
that.
He's a mascot for 2020. So I think for him, it just be a waste of time. So that's kind of why. That's why I celebrated 2020 for me. If he see it that way, then that's how he's going to get it.
Well, see, here's the thing I challenge you with. Don't say it would be a waste of time, because you spreading the word is never a waste of time.
Come on now.
Well, I spread it. I just didn't spread it.
But and that's what I'm saying. So sometimes people like that need a reassurance. And when they say stuff like that, they need something or someone to give them some kind of reassurance that all is not gone, all is not lost. So when that guy come there, man, 2020 this, 2020 that, give him some positive. Hey, you woke up this morning, didn't you?
Whatever I told him. It's been a great year, and that's why I tried to lift him up by saying it's been such a great year for all of us. Nobody right. at the airport has missed 1 minute of work.
Right.
1 minute of work. We've worked more, not a whole lot more, but we've worked more. So I try to always look at the positive. You know what I'm saying? It's so easy. Man, I can find 10 things to complain about right now without thinking about them. But if I'm a believer and I'm trying to glorify the kingdom, I can't jump in that bucket with everybody and start saying, man, it was this and this and this happened. This, nothing really happened. People died and all those things, but people died in 19. People lost jobs in 19. People lost jobs in 18. People died. You know what I'm saying? So that's my perspective on how when somebody comes to me with that darkness about 2020, I'm trying to shine a light on it.
I see what you're saying, Rick. You know, taking the opportunity. Because if he said it, the way he premised the question, I see you doing your devotion. I see you. Let me ask you, how was 2020 for you?
Bingo.
And you answered it in a way that you would answer. But this is how I would address it if it was me. Like, 2020 been great for me, bro. How has it been for you? And then when he said, but you're saying all these negative things, and then bring that to light.
Right,
but
right,
you
right,
never missed
right.
a moment of work. Your family's taken care of.
Right, right.
Yeah, you got good health. But let me share with you what's in my devotion. Let me give you something to think about. And if you ever want to talk about it, just come to me, man. We'll sit one-on-one. Get him away from the crowd.
Exactly.
Jesus said, with love and kindness have I drawn thee. So if you change the way your approach up, even though he may be the mascot for 2020, that may be the one song. Remember, 2020 ain't over yet.
Right.
It means 20 means expectation.
Right.
2020 means double expectation. So that means we have the opportunity for God to double bless. And look, in the midst of a pandemic, he has double blessed us.
He has.
And so we look at that opportunity. That's a kingdom crown that you're placing on somebody's head by way through the Holy Spirit that God is doing. And I trust this. I trust this because I feel this in my spirit. He'll be back.
Definitely.
Is watching you and what you're doing for him. He purposely, look at what he did. He purposely separated himself from the crowd to come to you. The Bible said Nicodemus came unto Jesus by night.
And said,
we know that you are sent from God, for no man can do these things unless God sent him. How can I enter into the kingdom of God? Jesus said, to enter into the kingdom of God, you good God Almighty, Jesus, you must be born again. So God is setting you up to be Christ in that situation. Nicodemus left the Pharisees and the Sadducees and came over to you one-on-one to get a word. I get it. A lot of times you know people are coming for one thing because our mind said that when in actuality, God might have pricked their heart or opened up a wound and you're now going to be in charge of the blood flow and what God has you to do. I challenge you to have a scripture that you, devotion that you're going to use for just this one guy. You pray and say, God, open up my understanding of what he needs. And then speak to me. Speak to him through me so he know that you speaking. And then watch God work it.
Exactly.
I accept that. I can accept that.
And yeah.
I know he's coming back. Wow. I know he's definitely coming back.
Oh, he's coming back. And he's coming back before this week out.
And he's going to ask you something more in depth the next time he comes back.
Definitely.
He is. Whew. God, my brother, this is 853, and I mean, it's a powerful thing that he gave me. I hope that it was a good study, a good word from God, and that you can take something from it. Anybody got any questions? I do what God told me to do best I can, and you know me, we ain't got an answer. We'll find an answer.
Right.
You know, God, I thank you again for the opportunity to come and break this bread of life. I'm done. Bless God.
I had a thought today, and I think I might have asked it before about was the warfare intended to be so intense? Was it God's design for it to be so intense? Because as you continue to grow and walk, it intensifies. So my question was it designed to be so intense? The spiritual warfare.
Yes. Let me tell you why. If it's not intense, we won't join in. We'll just settle.
Right.
It's correct. Just like, and then the more you grow, the more intense it becomes. It's like being on a job. The more experience you have, the more responsibilities you get.
Yes.
And it's the same thing in the spirit. The more you're going through something and you're getting the experience of going through it, God's going to place more responsibility on you. Because this is only preparing you for your part in the battle.
Right, correct.
We could have been in the military, you know, we went through basic training. We went through scenarios of battle so that when we got into the actual fight, we had a basic understanding on how to fight.
Right.
That's what the warfare is for. That's what the spiritual warfare is for, to give us an understanding. Right. There's going to come a time that we're going to need this and how to fight. And the more intense that it is, the more we pay attention in the fight.
Right.
The harder you study, the harder the class, the more harder you study. And the more you study, the better the grade.
Right.
And so when we see that, when we're going through spiritual warfare, it can't be candy. It can't be candy coated. It can't be broken down. It's because it's hitting an area in your life that you don't need for you. You need for the person that's coming after you. Right. Nobody goes through anything for them.
Right. Correct. Yes. Right. That's right.
We all talk about blessings. I tell people like this right here. Gifts come to you. Gifts are for you to hold.
Mm-hmm.
God blesses you to be a blessing.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Ever you're going through something, that testimony ain't for you. Because to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony.
Testimony.
So that means you're overcoming by what you're telling somebody else about what you've overcome.
Right.
Right.
And then when you get the experience of overcoming it, you're not going to trip and fall and stay there anymore. Because you know, I've been through this one time I came out, I'm going to come out again. And so, yeah, that's why it's intense. Because it has to teach you something.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's a good answer.
Right.
I just had a question on something that I always heard when I was younger, Glenn. I think you answered it, but I just want to make sure that I'm venturing down the right path. My grandmother used to always say to my grandfather and some of the older people in my family is that when you're going through pain, that you're supposed to sit in that pain and build up a spiritual callus. Is that what you're talking about when you say don't pick at the scab and reopen the wound?
Absolutely. What grandma is saying is sitting in the pain, she means stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because what grandma understands that when you stand still and you start to pray, then God's the one that takes over. Yeah. The more you move, now that standing still don't mean physically standing still. It means going on with your day, on your journey, but you've given it to God. Remember when the children of Israel were before the Red Sea and by the mountain? They ain't had nowhere to go. And then when God spoke to Moses, he says, it told Moses what to do. He says, stretch that forth your staff. And Moses turned and said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for the Lord will fight for you this day. And then he parted the Red Sea and they moved. And then when they got to the other side of the thing that separated them from their safety, the water closed in on Pharaoh's army that was chasing them. When she's talking about building up a spiritual callus, she's saying you've now getting experience by going through this so that it's not going to hurt the next time you go through it. If you look at a sore that you have on your body, look at the scar. That's a callus. It's now coagulated to become a scar. You can remember, if you look at it, where you got it from, how it felt when you first got it, but you can mile at it, you can pinch it, you can pull it, and it doesn't hurt the same. Yeah. So when she's talking about building up a spiritual callus, she's saying you're going to go through this and you're going to go through it again. But the next time you go through it, it won't be so painful because you built up a spiritual callus against it and you can make it through to the other side. Did that answer your question?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Anybody else? Glory. Amen. Well, Todd, I'm done, brother. You can go ahead and do what we do.
Oh, man. Anybody got anything before we do the shouts out, takeaways from tonight? If not, Brother George, give me something.
Man, I just I was just thinking about when Glenn was talking, how when I first started out and had those things are familiar, you know, when we're out in the world, it was so easy. Now when you become a Christian, everything becomes difficult and it's cut hard because I know y'all have heard this before. You either in trouble, just got out of trouble, or trouble's on the way. And amen. And we done heard this before so many times. But man, it just seemed like, man, when I got into the word, like you said, I ran. I was running. I was running because I knew that carrying this word, man, you have blood on your hands, man. It's like, and you have to give the word to people. No matter how difficult it is. And so I knew that. And so that's why I ran. But then when I succumbed and surrendered, accepted my calling, it just seemed like it never stopped. It just seemed like one thing after another. And I had even got to the point, Brother Glenn, that I wrote a letter to my pastor and said I made a mistake with my calling. but that's how the devil does you, man. We got to understand and remember this always, brothers. The devil, anything that's in your past that familiar, he will bring that back to your familiarity. He does it every time. Those things that we used to do, he brings them back. Now, remember, he cannot deal with us in the past because he's not omnipresent. He cannot deal with anything in the past
because God has us in his future. Because remember, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. Good, mm-hmm. not of evil, a hope, a future, and expected end. So God holds our future. Satan holds nothing. But he knows that his days are numbered.
Come on now.
God is good.
Good job, man. Brother. Good job, man.
Amen.
Love you.
Amen.
Brother Josh, give me something.
Oh, man, I think everybody talks about how powerful this is every week, and it's just so, I don't know, man, it is, that's what it is, it's just powerful how every week something new relates to a portion of our lives, the stuff that we've been through, and every answer for everything that you've ever went through is in that word.
Yes.
It's whatever you're going through, it's an answer for it, you just got to seek it out, and I'm enjoying this journey. I'm looking forward to continuing and getting deeper in it. And I appreciate all y'all.
Definitely, bro. Definitely. Amen. Love you, man. Love you. Brother Charles, give me something.
Hey, man. Glenn, man, God use you, man. The process that you're going through, man, that makes me excited and hungry for the word, because I see God using you as an instrument to bring glory to the body, and that's us, man. And when you see that, so much, when we see so much of negativity in the world, what's going on in the world. But when you see what we're doing, what God has allowed us to do on Tuesday night, man, that brings us life. And that is exciting to hear people experiencing it, that life, loving that life, and living that word. That's good, man.
Yeah.
And I reckon what you say tonight, pain is an indicator that something needs to change. As a believer and a follower of Christ, and as a man, I took that pain and I internalized that pain that I was going through, and I felt like if I shared my pain, that was a sign of weakness. But that's not true. I'm learning that now. That pain God is that he has brought me through has made me more dependent upon him, for him to use that pain and even get glory through that pain.
Amen.
And I thank you, Glenn.
God bless you.
Thank God for using you. And I love you guys, man. I really do.
Love you too, bro.
Thank you, bro. I love you too, man. I love you too. Brother Prentice.
Yeah, Glenn, I appreciate you bringing the word tonight, man. The part of the thing that really stood out to me was God sending that pain back to you for you to learn something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
So that thing keeps coming back because you need to learn less. You need to grow out of it. So you need, I say, grow up in it. So you need to make that change. And I really appreciate that. And just bringing that to light. You know, so many times we hear things and we read the scripture so many times, and we all read one scripture 100 times, but it's just that one time it does hit a little different.
Yes.
You know, the same with the word.
Right. Yes. Right. Right.
She hit a little different. So I appreciate it. And I really appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah. Amen.
Good job, man. Good job. Love you, bro. Love you.
Brother awesome Long. Word, Glenn. Awesome word, Glenn, on the night. Thank you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
Who you said, Todd?
You.
Hey, man. Thanks, Glenn, for the word tonight. Tonight was one of those nights where I just wanted to listen and learn. You know, sometimes we have to just be quiet and listen and see what God is saying to you in your spirit. And the one thing that came to my attention tonight was when Todd brought up the spiritual warfare. And it hit me because I realize now that spiritual warfare wasn't for me when I was in the world. Spiritual warfare is now that I'm trying to serve Christ. And that spiritual warfare is not my flesh. Like, it's not of blood and it's not of flesh and blood. It's of a spirituality. It's of a spirituality that's going on in the cosmos, in the demon world. And because I gave my life to Christ, I became part of their attack. I became part of that process. And that's what I'm feeling in my spirit now, that any man that gives his life to Christ, it's like joining a team. It's like you go to the good team, now you got to get attacked. Everybody that's on the Bulls basketball team, every time they play a game, everybody going after them. So now when you in Christ, and the devil's coming after you every day, all day long. And you just got to be on guard. You got to be ready to protect yourself. And that's why the word of God tells you. And I think that's a, I think that's Ephesians 6:12. I'm thinking that's what it is.
Wrestle not against flesh and blood.
But what I'm learning for myself, you know, I love to talk about myself, is that, man, I can be in the word. I can really be, you know, just reading and prayed up and all that good stuff, and out of nowhere, an attack come.
Amen. Amen.
I'm learning that it's not that person that attacked me. It's bigger and deeper than that. Because of what I'm trying to
build. Yeah.
To the word, you got to stay focused. Even. I just thank you. And that's what I'm learning. Thank you.
Amen, brother.
Good job, Jay. Good job. That was a great analogy, too, Jay. Great, great analogy. Brother Rick, give me something.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I took from this tonight, and Glenn, I appreciate the message about the scab and the healing process. Well, sometimes we have to be the scab for somebody else as well.
True.
Because everybody can't heal.
That's
true. So, Todd, like with that guy, he's hurting. And it's evident because he's coming to you periodically with little tidbits. He's hurting. Maybe you have to be his scab. To help him understand what's going to really take place in his life and what has taken place in his life. And with that, you know, I love each and every one of you. You know, I want everyone to have a safe and Merry Christmas. I'll definitely see each and every one of you next Tuesday with a smile on face.
Amen.
Oh, man. Third Bird, what's up?
Hello. What's up, man? Well, what I wanted to say was what Rick said, because, hey, that's what I was about to say, that you got to be that scab for someone else, man, because I'm actually doing that now. But, hey, great work, Brother Rick. Like I said, I'm just, it was just powerful, man. The night was just like one of the ones, like I was just soak. I was like Brother Jerome tonight, just soaking it all in tonight. Like he said, sometimes you gotta just listen instead of just chop, chop, chop. So that's what I was doing tonight. So that was me tonight. But definitely, Glenn, that was definitely a great word you brought tonight. Cause that guy actually got me thinking even a little harder than what I was thinking earlier today.
God bless you.
Amen.
Good job there, bro. Prentice, is Della close by? Before I get mine and turn it over. My takeaway, man, when I kept hearing Glenn talk about the flow and the scabbing process, man, for me it kind of feels like it's the steps. It's how we close. It's like closure in one area. We get closure and confirmation, and then we move on and more pain, more scabs. But it's almost remind me of the journey or the process, because we can't go through this life without scabs.
No.
By the end of the road, the way I'm feeling, and the end of the road, I'm going to look like a zombie the way I'm getting scabbed up right now.
Amen.
Amen. When I saw Glenn, he kept pointing. He painted a great picture of the flow, and when it stopped and it started to heal, and that's like closure from one painful situation, and then we move on, and then we might go through some more pain and it scab back up, and it just like I felt like I heard closure in my spirit, and confirmation also, then we move on and then we get beat up some more and then we turn into the zombie at the end and hopefully we're going to hear well done at the end. But
right.
That was just my takeaway. Before I turn over to Glenn, Tiffany, and Della, hopefully they're going to explain what's going to go down Tuesday and if everybody's in agreement. Honey?
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Everybody's okay, doing well.
Hello.
I text Della. Oh, there she is. Hey, Della.
Hey, what's up?
How y'all doing?
Hey, y'all.
So grateful to have everybody here. We did the couples ministry, I know, in the past. So we were trying to get something together for everybody, you know, their significant others. We're trying to kind of bring everybody together. We're going to do like a game and kind of fellowship night. And all that is basically whatever you eat, if it's chips or you got a full course meal, whatever, you fix it, you prepare it. And Della and I prepare some questions. And all that you would do is pick a number. And once you pick that number, each question is behind a number. So we just go around and we ask questions. They're going to be fun questions. And Della, you can kind of tell them about it too. But the last thing I wanted to do that I thought would be fun. So we're going to eat. We're going to answer questions in a group setting, kind of just have fun. But at the end, I wanted to talk about a lesson that you've learned, that you may have learned as a child. That lesson has taken you through the course of your life. And you can just basically recall that lesson. You remember it. And we just want to share, you know, what that lesson is, you know, with the group. And just have fun. So, Della, you have any remarks you want to share?
The activity that I'm going to do, I've done it with a couple of different groups. And so my questions would vary. I'm actually going to be like Vanna Black. Okay. Vanna Black. And okay. It's going to be, I'm not going to tell you too much, but you get to pick a question. You're not going to know what it is, though. You ain't going to know. You're just going to give me a number.
Okay.
And the question or the activity.
Wow.
It's going to be on the other side of that number.
That's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun, crazy. Might be kind of thought-provoking. Maybe I'll put a couple of, mm-hmm. you know, serious.
I mean, it's friendly. It's going to be friendly for all the guys.
For everybody.
So, yeah, it's not mandatory couples, though. It's for everybody online, man. We want everybody to log back on Tuesday, man. We're going to enjoy
it. And I'm not going to say, you know, turn to your right and kiss your, you know, significant other, nothing like that.
Okay.
You know, I ain't going to do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm going to be nice.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to it,
man. We want to celebrate the season, and we want to celebrate, man. We've been doing this since May the 10th.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome when you just God just standing in the midst and say, I got you guys, man.
Amen.
So we want to really celebrate the season and just enjoy each other. We done been really heavy in the word, so I think we know some of you guys don't really know how to have fun. I know y'all. So we're gonna have a little fun too. I done had three nights of fun. So I'm gonna help lead some of you guys in fun.
Amen.
But anyway, we wanted them to share that and let you guys know because I couldn't even try to explain it if I tried. Anyway,
amen.
But if y'all got anything else?
No, I look forward to seeing everybody. It's the 29th.
Right.
Amen.
Next Tuesday. At 8 o'clock, nothing changed, but we're gonna smile and laugh more than normal.
All right. Amen.
See you guys. Have a good night.
Good night.
Good night. Seeing y'all.
Tommy?
Yeah.
George.
George, yes,
this for you. Dirty Bird, this for you too.
Uh-oh.
Jerome? Good. God Almighty. Psalm 27, 1 through 8.
27?
Yep.
1 through 8. Hold on, let me get my... what I just said about... Oh, Psalms 27, 1 through 8?
Yep. Good. God Almighty. Jesus. Y'all ready?
All
the Lord is my apprentice. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up, they stumbled and fell. Though a host shall encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though a host shall rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire when in trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now shall my head be lifted above my enemies round about. There I will offer tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yet I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry. My voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. And thou said, seek my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek.
Amen.
Good.
All right. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Great. You dropped the mic now, man. That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
When you heard that, he told you that.
That's powerful.
He told you that one.
Thank you.
He told you that one.
He told you that one, man.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
It don't matter what you're going through, what you're facing. God just told you right there. The only thing you got to do is continue to seek him.
Seek him. That's right.
No difference what it is. You coming out on top with your head above your enemies.
Seek him.
Yeah. Ooh, glory to God.
I got you. I got you.
Tonight, brothers, where, you know what God was talking about pain and about coming through. And it's just, we have not been defeated.
Right.
We're here faithfully, time after time, day after day.
Right, right. Amen.
What it might have afflicted other people, but all it has done is elevate us in our faith.
Right, correct.
We have not lost this battle. Actually, we have been given promotions. And I'm just waiting on God to start just doing what he said he would do. Just
right, correct. Amen.
Doors are being open, man. I'm just excited about what God is doing with this family that we have come into and that we're growing even stronger in. I can't say enough how much I love each and every one of you, man. And just to be an instrument that we can come together and share the word of God, it is awesome. I thank Ford. I thank God for, you know, putting the revelation of his word.
Amen.
Every one of us, how we share with each other. We're not afraid to share with each other.
Right.
There's nothing greater than that. And I, like Charles said, that, you know, I thought being a man mean I needed to hide my pain.
Yeah.
Actually, the best part of my manhood is letting it go.
That's right.
And I'm just blessed God more than I to hear what thus says, Lord. I'm done, Todd. Father God, is in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you once again, Father, for opening up the break life with us, Father. Father, to open up our understanding that
Jesus
and teach us, God, as you would continue to speak in our
Jesus.
Father, we ask right now that you open up the floodgates of heaven, God. Continue to pour your spirit and your blood upon us, Father, that we'll wash whiter than snow, Father. Purge me that we may be purified, God. Cleanse us, God, that we may be able to be used by you. And Father, when you use God, use us to the full potential for which you placed inside of us, God. Let nothing be held back from you, God.
Yes.
Use it up, God, and then replenish the virtue, God, for which you've taken out. Father, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to go into the airway, God, to speak life to one another, God, to build up what has been broken down, God, and to continue to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Father,
yes, Lord,
thank you for the life that you've chosen for each of us, God, to go through for your glory. And Father, we give all glory, honor, and praise to you. Continue, God, as we go forward, God, to speak to this group, God, one individually, God, and then collectively, God. And Father, let our hearts and minds be able to receive the word of God, Father.
Yes.
Keep it what belongs to them, God, and God, share it so that we will not be holders of your word.
Yeah.
We thank you for this group. We thank you for every person attached to it, God, and we just give you all glory, honor, and praise. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. All in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
Great night, guys. Great night, man. Love y'all.
Yes, sir.
Have a great Christmas weekend, man. And be safe. Be careful. See you guys Tuesday.
God bless.
Love y'all, man.
Yeah. Amen. Love you too, brother Glenn.
Be blessed,
night, bro. All right.